And let's hear the response from three of North Korea's neighbors. One is China, one is South Korea, a third is Japan, whose leader has been traveling through the region. NPR's Louisa Lim reports.
Japan's new Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was supposed to be scoring a diplomatic ace with his ice-breaking visits to Seoul and Beijing. Instead, he's flown straight into a crisis, with North Korea's nuclear test overshadowing everything. The South Korean television stations had live programs much of the day, following every development, even as South Korea's military was ordered on a heightened state of alert. For his part, Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe called the test unpardonable and said he'd worked to find ways to implement a tough resolution. His host, President Noh-Mo Hyun, warned the test is what he called a dangerous play that could spark a nuclear arms build-up in Asia. Analyst Peter Beck from the International Crisis Group in Seoul says South Korea's policy of engagement is now coming under strain.
The nuclear test has put more pressure than ever before on Seoul to reconsider its policy of engagement towards the North. And so for the first time, you're seeing serious discussion by the Korean government of putting a halt to the two pillars of cooperation with the North, the special economic zone and the tourism project, which have both been cash cows for North Korea.
China's response was fast and furious. A short statement from the normally sedate foreign ministry was aired on the midday news. It denounced North Korea's nuclear test as brazen. It's deeply embarrassing for Beijing that Pyongyang has again expressly ignored warnings from its old ally. Shi Yinhong from Renmin University says the strong wording of the statement is significant.
This reflects China's anger, real anger. But at the same time, I think that this statement also reflects China's anxiety.
Beijing's now facing an immense foreign policy dilemma. Its relationship with Pyongyang was once as close as lips and teeth. It still provides 70% of North Korea's food and fuel aid, and may be under pressure to stop that. Shunding Lee from Fudan University says this nuclear test shows the failure of the last decade of Chinese foreign policy towards North Korea. Yet he says the continued aid to North Korea, which he referred to as the DPRK, has served an important purpose for the Chinese by keeping a buffer between themselves and South Korea.
Providing food, providing lifeline to DPRK is not a simple friendship or help to North Korea. But it's a help to Chinese. We buy our security by paying this. We need them to survive, with or without a nuclear weapon.
North Korea has long paraded its military prowess. But having said a nuclear North Korea is unacceptable, Beijing will now have to act on its words as the focus shifts to the United Nations. Some Chinese analysts are warning that strict sanctions could cause the collapse of a regime whose economy is already in tatters. Shunding Li says China must be politically correct in supporting sanctions, but must also act with its own national interest in mind.
So we can design specially tailored technical sanctions against the PRK. And we may apply limited economic sanctions. But we need to be very careful. If excessive sanctions would lead either that country to collapse, that would create instability on the peninsula, firstly to making us to feel the pressure of refugees.
That plan is unlikely to satisfy those calling for tough punitive action. China and the rest of the world now has a delicate balancing act ahead. One sad fact, however, is certain. The victims will be North Korea's people, who've long suffered under a policy putting the army first. They'll be facing the prospect of a long, cold, hungry winter, with international aid supplies dwindling as a result of their government's provocative actions. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.